Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting today. Let's commit this time in prayer before we hear the word of God. I'll share the screen soon. Hope you all can see my screen. Father, we want to thank you, God. We want to praise you, God. And we want to give you glory and honor to you, God. We thank you, Father, for the time that you have given us, oh God. We praise you, Father, for bringing us together, Lord. And Father, even as we come before you, O God, and hear your word, O God, I pray, O God, that you will speak to us, O God. Reveal your plans to us, O God. Reveal your word to us, O God, and speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, church, the message title today will be You Are the God Who Sees Me. And the passage is taken from Genesis chapter 16, the first entire chapter, which is 16 verses. So I will be reading from the entire chapter 16. The title is You Are the God Who Sees Me. So I'll read this chapter. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from him. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." Verse 11. The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. So many months ago, church, I had a conversation with a friend of mine from office. So we were particularly talking about marriage and family when he said he had a very bad experience in his childhood and was hurt by his father's action in the past. As such, he didn't want to get married, have kids, or build a family. He explained how his father was running a family business back then. The business was going on well and they had everything. Then one of his father's friends came into the picture and got his father to invest in another business. The father trusted his friend so much and began investing in the new business, but then eventually lost everything in the investment and began to be in debt. So with people chasing his dad to repay the loans and debts, my friend had to work and look after himself in a different place away from his parents. He was very emotional when sharing the story with me, saying how he had to sleep on streets, bus stops, and bathe in public toilets before getting ready to go for interviews and etc. So many years have passed by now, and my friend is now staying with his parents, but his relationship with his father has turned sour. He has not been speaking to his dad for years, as he still blames his dad for the wrong decision he made in the past, for not providing him with good education, and which directly affected his chances of getting a better career. So church, as we consider the story that my friend story also. Do we think that we are victim due to someone's bad decision? Are we just a product of our past? And is there any real hope for us now? So as we're going to go through the passage we read earlier, I hope I can answer these questions. So just a quick introduction before we reflect on the passage. So God has called Abraham to come out of his father's household and promised to make him into a great nation and to bless his descendants. Abraham obeyed God and started his journey to the unknown land. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. When we read Genesis chapter 15, despite of God giving everything to Abraham, right, like land, wealth, and possessions, he was still not happy as he still remains childless. However, God has promised to bless Abraham and Sarah with a son. And Hagar, on the other hand, is one of the Egyptian slaves presented to Abraham by Pharaoh. She followed Abraham and Sarah wherever they went as they were her masters. We can read this in Genesis 12, verses 14 to 16, right? So when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels. So this is how Hagar came in contact with Abraham and Sarah, and she began to be with Abraham and Sarah. So as we move to Genesis chapter 16, the first four verses, right? Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took an Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Concubinage was the custom back then, where just say after a few years of marriage, and the wife had not given birth to any children, the husband was allowed to take his slave so she can give birth and have children. So Sarah has been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise all these years. But now 10 years have passed by and she blamed God for her barrenness. Right? She said that the Lord has kept me from having children. She blamed God for her barrenness. So she refused to wait further and decided to give Hagar to Abraham and thought that through Hagar, she can build her own family. Abraham, on the other hand, have a close communion with God. Earlier we read, going through the introduction, right? So God had appeared in vision, counseled him, provided and protected him and Sarah all this while. So God has kept his promise in the past, and Abraham knows God is faithful in keeping his word. So but instead of acknowledging the faithfulness of God and waiting for his time to fulfill the promise, Abraham agreed with Sarah and went along with her decision. So we can see how the deep desires within them to have their needs met apart from God led them to take this wrong, drastic decision. So Sarah took the decision based on the custom of that time and got Hagar conceived. Hagar has no say in this whole situation, right? Because she was a slave and had to follow the orders given by her master. She's bonded to be with the master until either the master is dead or if she's bought over by another person. So her feelings and emotions means nothing to her master. The only choice that he has is to follow her master's command. So in all the wrong, bad decision-making, right, pressures from the traditions and society, the expectation from others, Hagar was pushed into a difficult situation. And this is not what she wanted, and the decision was not made by her. In all of this, she was the most affected person. She was the victim of the wrong choice made by Abraham and Sarah. So church, I'm sure we all have faced situations where we become victim of someone's wrong decision, especially decisions from people in power and authority, right? So perhaps we know someone who has suffered also and have gone through terrible things due to bad choices made by someone. But can someone's bad decision live a life in a hopeless and terrible situation without any hope forever? So as we move on to verse 4 to verse 6, you can read, he slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. So may the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abraham said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So this whole idea of building family through Hagar came from Sarah. She initiated the move because she blamed God for her barrenness, right? So the status of a woman increases in family and society when they bear children for their husbands. Hence, when Hagar conceived, indirectly her status in the society went up. And so she began despising Sarah. So even in today's world, right, we can see the same taking place, right? You see how sometimes nowadays people seek for something in their life, right? A child, or maybe a job, or education, or wealth. They're really in need, and then they seek the things. And when they finally get it, right, have it, they begin to look down on those who don't have these things. So how sometimes we think that once we have acquired what we are looking for, we think we are in control now, or act like we are in power, and we begin to despise people around us who are actually in need. It's very contradicting, right? At first, we are in need, and then now we look down on others in similar positions. So Sarah was, of course, jealous, angry, and frustrated with this whole situation. She now blames Abraham for the whole situation. Abraham, on the other hand, was very passive when approaching the situation. Hagar is not his wife, but it's still his responsibility to provide and protect her. However, he neglected his responsibility and even told Sarah to treat Hagar as she wishes. He went on to say that your slave is in your hands and do with her whatever you think best. That is to completely surrender and let go Hagar under the hands of Sarah. So what Sarah did, she took all her anger, frustration, and disappointments on Hagar and began mistreating her. So the mistreatment was so bad that Hagar had to flee from her master. So Hagar was actually pressured from all sides. The whole thing that took place initially in her life, right, was beyond her control and never her fault. She had to follow Sarah's decision and had no say in it. And after following her decision, she had to face the anger and frustration that comes from her master. So Hagar could have been so broken and would have felt so empty inside. She didn't ask to be in the situation, but rather she was pushed to this. She was then blamed, accused, and mistreated. So those who should have been responsible have actually neglected their responsibility. So instead of caring for her, the ones who should have looked after her have actually used their power to treat her unjustly. Hagar doesn't deserve this treatment now. So even now, right, church, we can actually read this. Many terrible things that take place. We can read this in newspaper. For example, a woman would have been raped, and when a child is born, she's left to raise the child alone. It's never her fault, and she didn't ask to be in the situation, right? But she will face a tough time raising this child in the society she's in. So when we also sometimes face similar situations, right, we tend to ask God, why is God silent throughout this whole process? And where is he? And has he really forsaken us? As we move on to verse 7 to 12, this is the part where Hagar encountered God. So verse 7, it says that the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur, and he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to come. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. So when she encountered God, the three things that God did for her. So on the slide, I've put in that God sought her first. God heard her cry and saw her misery. And God didn't show favoritism. So I will be mentioning some Bible verses and you can refer to your notes of these Bible verses. So first point, right, that God sought her first. When she encountered God, she realized that God sought her first. Having lost all hope and unable to bear Sarah's mistreatment, Hagar was left with no choice but to run away. Then an angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. And the one whom she met in the desert was originally referred to as the angel of the Lord. So we can read this in verse 7, verse 9, and verse 11 as we refer to the notes, right? Hagar constantly referring to this person as the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. But Hagar recognized that she had actually seen and encountered God in the desert and referred to him as Lord in verse 13. So when we read, it says that she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. So it was God who sought and encountered her in the desert. So it's interesting to know that despite of no one caring or looking after her, God sought and spoke to her. God came after Hagar. No one took notice of her situation and nobody cared for Hagar. No one even comforted her when she was in a difficult situation. But God came after her. God sought her first. We can read this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says that we love because he first loved us. So none of us looked for God in our broken condition, in our lost condition, right? There's nothing good in us that prompted us to actually look for him. But God made the first move. He first loved us and he approached us despite of the circumstances or mess that we were in. So God first sought Hagar. And the second point is God heard her cry and saw her misery. So in verse 11, it says that you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. It's true that many things would have influenced and have gone against Hagar, like the wrong and unplanned bad decision made by Abraham and Sarah, the customs or traditions of those days, expectation of the society and the unjust treatment on her. But in all these things, right, God walked through all of it, found Hagar, saw her misery and heard her cry. So just nothing was hidden from God. Her situation is not beyond God's reach. Even in, we can read this in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. It says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. None of us are beyond God's grace and mercy. None of us. God is always near us, ever present to listen when we call upon him, and ever ready to answer us in times of trouble. And in all these things, right, despite the child, Hagar's child came through a bad decision and no responsibility taken by Abraham, God still worked out. God still actually has plans for the child. In verse 10 to 11, it says that the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. So even Abraham and Sarah would have failed Hagar, but God didn't fail her. Abraham neglected his responsibility, but God did not. So God heard her cry and saw her misery. And our God is also a God who did not show favoritism. So we know that God has called Abraham and has made covenant with him. And the Israelites are God's holy and covenant people. But that does not mean that God's goodness and mercy favor is exclusive for the Israelites alone. So we can see, right, instead of God in the situation, instead of God appearing before Abraham to speak to him or something, the God of Israel chose to appear to an Egyptian slave woman who is despised and considered worthless by people around her. He encountered her, heard her plight, and comforted her. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for God does not show favoritism. Now Hagar now has the same access to God, just like Abraham. God did not show his mercy to Abraham alone, but extended his grace and mercy to Hagar and blessed her too. So many times, right, church, we think that God will only speak to pastors or church leaders or ministry leaders and not with us. And we think that God will only, there's certain things that God will only reserve for special people in church or certain group of people in church and not for all. But that's not the case here, because God treats all of us equally as his children, and there is no special attention or treatment given to anyone. There is no favoritism or partiality in him. We are all his children. And in verse 13, it says that she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. So Hagar could have been a victim of bad, unplanned decisions, injustice, or people's failure. But she was never out of God's sovereign plans for her life. Because on one side, she was hard-pressed by the current difficult situation which she has to face, and she has no control over it. But then on the other side, she saw the reality of God's control over her life and how he came to her aid, how he came in and helped her out. She encountered God in such a special and personal way, and she declared that you are the God who sees me. Hagar knows that God loves her and will see her through in all her difficult situations. And despite of all the terrible things that she had to go through, the encounter that she had with God brought confidence and strength in her. Now that enabled her to actually walk back to the problematic situation instead of running away. So many of us also, right, when facing testing periods and seasons, some difficult situations that we feel we are empty, we feel weak, we feel broken inside. We need to encounter God like how Hagar has actually encountered God. She tasted God in a very special way. And only when we come before God and encounter God in such a way, that God will actually give us the confidence and God will give us the strength to go through our challenges without running away. And in conclusion, church, I would like to just highlight that today many things could have actually gone against us, many things. Terrible things could have taken place in our lives due to wrong decisions, injustice, or unfairness, or even at workplace, marketplace, aside our business decisions, the people in authority, they could have actually done something. The list can go on, right? We could just feel like we are just victims, and there's no way we can actually come out of the situations we are in. We could just feel like we are trapped, we are a product of our past. There's no way we can actually move on. We are stuck here. And if we are not careful, one thing that's going to happen to us is actually we will be stuck in that place for a long time, and we will keep blaming others around us. But what this passage is telling is that we don't have to be confined and defined by these situations. We don't have to live as victims for the rest of our life. We don't have to stay here. We don't have to be in this situation forever. The God whom we worship is a sovereign God who is in control of our life despite the circumstances that we are in. He sees our misery. He listens to our cry. And he will save us. And he will see us through. So it's very encouraging to know that God is not going to just leave us in a feeling of trapped in our situation, but he listens to our misery. He hears our cries, and he is coming, and he is near us. And God does not only see the current misery or current situations, difficult situations that we are in, but God saw the spiritual lostness that we were in. We were all lost in our sin, and we are separated from God, and we will forever be separated from him if we don't find him and we are not in him. in eternal condemnation. Yet God, because of his love for us, he sent his only son Jesus to die for our sins. And in John chapter 3 verse 14, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Church, we need to encounter God like Hagar, not only looking up to him for answers for our current situation, but also we need to look up to him in faith for our salvation. Amen. So we will move into a time of prayer. And the few points that are listed here, shown in the slide. And I would encourage everyone to pray. You can just pick any one of these points and you can just pray. And even if you have any other points besides the one that's listed here, feel free to pray. Let's pray, church. Thank you, Father God. God, we come before you, God. And we praise you for this time, O God. And we pray, O God, thank you so much, O God, for what you did for us on the cross, O Lord. I thank you so much, O God, that you are not far away from us, O God. That you are so near to us, O God. Many times, O God, we feel that we are trapped in a situation. We are victimized, O God, by some bad decisions. Even at workplaces, O God, some of us are stuck, Lord, and we think that forever we're going to be in this way. Someone did something and there's no way, nothing's going to happen for me. Or even in a relationship, in our family situations, O God. But God, I pray, O God, that you will open our eyes, O God. You'll open our hearts, O God, to see that you are in control, O Father God. That you are in control of our situation, O God. That you are a sovereign God, O Father God. That you have plans for us, O God. And none of us, O God, are on this earth by accident, O God. But you had plans for us, O God. You have plans, O God. And you, O God, love us so much, O God, that you want us to see through, O God, every challenge, O God. And you want us to encounter you, O Father God, just like how Hagar encountered you, O God. And I pray, O God, that as each one of us, O God, come before you, O God, and as we seek you, Lord, I pray that we will bring our pain, O God. We will bring our regrets, O God. We will bring our past hurts, O God. And we will submit them to you, Father God. And I pray, O God, that we will get the confidence, O God, the strength, O God, from you, O Father God. And we will be able to walk through, O God, every challenges that is before us, O God. Even as we are going through many difficult seasons, O God, for this past 1-2 years, O God. Father God, I pray that you, Father God, will continue to lead us, O God, as you said that you will not leave nor forsake us, O God. I pray, O God, that you, Father God, will continue, O God, to lead us, O Father God. And even as we come before you, O God, as we stay in your presence, O God, just like Hagar, O God, as we pour out our heart before you, O God, I pray, O God, that we will find you, O God, and we will declare that you are the God who sees us, O God. And in all these things, O God, I pray that you will give us fresh revelation, O God, fresh vision, O God, of who you are, O Father God. And with that strength, O God, I pray that we will move forward, O God. Father, I pray for everyone who's hearing this message, O God. I pray that you will work in our hearts, O God. And none of our situations are beyond your control, O Father God. You are in it, O God, and you are with us, O God. And I pray that you lead us forward, O God. In Jesus' name I pray, O God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We just come before you for those who are not well. Dear Lord, we continue to lift up, see you into your hands. We pray, Lord Father, that as she is undergoing radiotherapy, we pray, Lord, that you give her the strength and then you would encounter her, Lord, in her situation, and even for her son, dear Lord, Jaden, we pray that you heal him of asthma, dear God, and that you would continue, Lord, to minister, Lord, to this family, that you would bring, Lord, salvation, that you would bring deliverance, dear Lord, Father, that they may know you, Lord, as the God who sees them, dear Lord, that they will be acquainted, Lord, with your presence and with your grace, Lord, in this season, Lord. Father, we want to pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide, Lord, the church. We thank you again, Lord, that we can attend physical services. But we pray, Lord, that more than anything, as we come, Lord, that we will grow as a community, that we will sense your presence, that we will listen, Lord, to your voice, Lord, and that we will take our place, Lord, as your people. Dear Lord, we pray that you would teach us, Lord, to be the people of faith, that you would open our eyes to the many things that you can do, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will rise in faith, dear Lord. We are not victims, Lord, of circumstances, dear Lord. People may do or say things, dear Lord, but you are the sovereign God. And you are able to hold our hearts and heal us and restore us in a way no one else can do, dear Lord. Even the very thought, Lord, of you looking after us, Lord, can bring so much strength to face, Lord, the challenges in this world. Dear God, we pray that our hope will grow, our faith will grow, dear Lord, that what you have promised, we will believe, Lord, that what you have promised is true, dear Lord. It's a yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless, Lord, and lead us in this truth. Let us know, Lord, that we are not victims. We are people who have been delivered. We have been set free, Lord, from the powers of this world. It is you, Lord, who holds us in your hand. It is you, Lord, who holds our future. And we are so grateful for all of this. May we continue to experience the joy and courage, Lord, that comes from knowing you, that comes, Lord, from being set free, Lord, by you, your God. We thank you, Father. We pray that you be with all of us. Continue to keep us in your love this week. Continue to keep us focused and bless, Lord, the work, the times at home, that we may see, Lord, your goodness in our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.